Hey, this is Scott, and you're listening to What Was That Like? New episodes with guests telling their amazing stories are every other Friday, but today we have the Tuesday question. In the podcast Facebook group, we have a new thought-provoking question every Tuesday, and it generates some really interesting and sometimes deep discussions. We'd love to have you join us. Just go to whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. But if you're not in that group, we bring it to you here in a short episode every Tuesday. We dig into the group archives and find one of the past Tuesday questions that we've discussed. Then Meredith and I answer that question, and we talk about some of the answers that came from other listeners. And if you love this one, wait till you see what we have for you next Tuesday. Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast, and at the top, click on Try Free, and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad, and then on with today's episode.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Today's question is, have you ever gone back to visit your childhood home, and how would you describe that experience?
Just a drive-by. And it was kind of anticlimactic, but my other home was my grandparents' house here in Florida. I grew up in Nebraska, and we would come for 2 weeks every summer. So that was my home away from home, and my grandmother still lives there. So every time I go visit her, it's pretty nostalgic.
It seems to me that it's so unusual to hear about someone living in the home that they've always lived in, you know? I mean, when I think about my childhood home, I can think of three of them. And there's some before that that I was just too young to even remember them. But the earliest one I remember when I lived there, it was much of my childhood, actually, up till maybe age 8 or 10 or whatever. But it had a big yard. This house, the property was 3/4 acre. So when I was a kid, that was just a vast expanse of land. And there were trees, we had a big garden in the back, and, you know, it was out in the country, it was a rural area. And I haven't been back there, I haven't actually been back to any of them, but I can look, you know, Google Street View and look at it, and it's not big at all. I wonder why that is. I mean, is it because we're kids, we're so little to start with, that everything seems big?
But yeah, it's almost like that phenomenon where when you're a kid, time just crawls by. And then when you're an adult, it's at warp speed. Mm-hmm. I've read that one of the theories of this is when you're a kid, say you're like 10 years old, a year is 10% of your whole life. But when you're 50, it's less than 2% of your whole life. And so wow. I'm sure, yeah, isn't that cool?
Science. Looking at it mathematically, that is, yeah, I've never thought of it that way, but that's interesting. Yeah.
That's about as sciencey as I will get. Normally I measure with feelings. So enjoy this moment because it is special.
I have a fun math problem. We'll talk about that sometime. It's a word problem. I think you might even enjoy it.
I don't think you know me at all.
All right. Well, I'm going to put a pin in it. I'm going to put a pin in it, and we'll maybe bring that up at another time then.
We'll circle back, to use office lingo.
There you go. That's podcast lingo too.
Is it? I really dislike it.
Oh, I use that phrase when a guest gets off on some kind of crazy tangent and just say, okay, well, circling back to this other, you know, the story you were telling, and, you know, you got to do that sometimes.
That's true. I just have an aversion to office jargon. It makes my skin crawl. And because I'm a little, I don't know if you've noticed, Scott, but I'm a teeny bit unhinged.
And I have noticed that. Yes.
So I really don't like the constraining feeling of a limited vocabulary. And I feel like office jargon is just so icky. Makes my skin crawl. I don't like it at all.
Hmm. Did you put the cover sheet on the TPS report?
That doesn't fit within our vision at this moment, but we will file that away for further consideration.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
As I throw up in my mouth.
Speaking of answers, let's see what some of the listeners had to say about their childhood home. First one says, yes, because my mom still lives there. I live about 800 miles away, but it still feels a little bit like home whenever I go back. My mom has made a lot of changes over the years, but my favorite thing still stands in the yard, the beautiful tree, which was back then a tiny sapling, that my dad and I planted together when I was a little girl. I love that story. That. Yeah. Planting a tree. What a great way to create a memory with your dad. It's always there.
And I love a good tree story. I feel like a good tree makes a home, you know? Like, we have an amazing, it's at least 200-year-old tree in our yard, and it's like my friend. Mm-hmm. I sound very hippy-dippy right then, but
You are the definition of a tree hugger.
I really am. They just make me so happy, and we're house hunting right now, and we found a really good property, and it checked a lot of boxes. But I said to Garrett, it's soulless. It has no trees. Am I being irrational? And he looked at me and grabbed my hand and patted it and said, yes, yes, you are.
Why can't you plant a tree?
Well, yes, but, you know, we're not spring chickens. So it would, by the time it would be beautiful and majestic, we would be fertilizing it.
There's a saying about that. Something about the optimism of men who plant a tree under whose shade they know they will never sit, or something like that.
Yeah. I've heard that before, and it's really beautiful. I love the idea of this legacy tree idea, a joint memory with you and a loved one. I think that's really cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the next listener says, the house I was born in / grew up in was eventually donated to the local fire department to practice and was set on fire / put out multiple times over the course of a few weeks. My parents' new house happened to overlook the old one, and it took a few nights of watching my birthplace slowly be destroyed for me to stop coming to see it. Years later, I understand that it probably helped save a few dozen lives just by the training scenarios it offered, but it was still hard to watch my room I was born in slowly burn to the ground. I think that's so traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really sad. Yeah, and I didn't know that fire departments did that.
You don't know they do training burns like that?
I guess I never really thought about it. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, but
the funny thing is sometimes they'll set a house on fire and then they'll have like all 10 of them just line up for like a group photo. Like, you know, in all their fire gear and everything, and the house is burning behind them while they're just
really?
They're taking a selfie, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, how do you know this?
I've seen the pictures.
Wow. I had no idea. I had no idea they did that, but it makes more sense that they would train that way versus like a flight simulator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, this guy was like watching, again, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, but it's like watching your life being burned up, you know, your childhood. But you know what? When I read this, I thought of a situation that I had heard about one time. Some friends of mine up north bought an old house, and the people that had lived there before, it was a big house and old, and they had lived there their whole lives. So all of their stuff was still in the house, and they left it there because they were too old. They couldn't move anything. They were going to assisted living or something. And so my friends moved into the house, but the first thing they had to do was get rid of all of that old stuff. And so they had it all brought out, and it was just piled up in a pile like garbage in the driveway. And those previous owners came back for some reason. And how traumatizing for them to see, like, all of their life's possessions was just waiting to be picked up by the garbage truck.
That's so sad.
My friends felt terrible about it, to have them, you know, to have them see that. But I guess it was just unavoidable. But that's what I thought about when this person is talking about seeing his childhood home being burned, especially repeatedly. You know,
it's like
you're re-traumatizing every time you see it go up in flames.
Oh my gosh. And fire within itself is witnessing it. It is a little, I don't know, it does something. I think our primitive brains know that when we see a fire of that magnitude, that something is bad is happening. It's like a danger alarm goes off in our mind. The right. neighbor's townhome set fire Christmas 2020, and I was asleep. It was like two in the morning, three in the morning, and we have blackout curtains on our windows, but for some reason, the tiny flicker of the house across the street on fire went through my blackout curtains and I woke up. It's a little weird what our minds and spirits do to try to like warn us. And I opened the curtain, and just opening the curtain and seeing the neighbor's house ablaze, I mean, it was disturbing, and it kind of freaked me out for a week or two. Not as much as the person who was inside when the house caught on fire.
Right. Did they get out okay?
He did. His electric blanket set on fire while he was using it. And he did get out fine, but the EMTs insisted that he go to the nearest burn unit, which is about an hour away. In the process, they lost his wallet, keys, and cell phone. And he was already like, not just living paycheck to paycheck, but like whatever's two notches below that. And so it was like, that's how you become homeless in a city you've never been in. You know, that's one of the ways. Wow. And, but he did come back and we talked to him. That's why we know this story. And cause he was trying to break into his own car. And we're like, hey, how can we help you break into your car?
You said it happened at, Christmas. Why do we always hear about stories about houses burning down at Christmas? It seems like that's when, maybe because of the Christmas tree, if it's a real tree or something, I suppose.
Well, I think not all outlets and wiring systems are created equally. So if the wiring system has some problems, or the outlet is like space heaters are a real problem. So some, like our space heater, we live in a really old house, and the wiring will not support our space heater. So we use a surge protector.
Oh, okay. A strip outlet.
So, yeah. So we plug it into that so that if it's drawing too much energy, it will just shut it off.
Outlet has a fuse. Yeah.
Yes. So that's how we know it's not safe to plug the heater into the wall. But if you didn't know that and you just plug your heater into the wall, it could cause a fire. I don't know.
Right. Right.
No good.
Next one says, I just did this a month ago. Didn't get to go into my old house, but just driving by and through my old neighborhood was wild. I remember the street seemed so long when I was riding my bike as a kid, but in reality, it's so short. It's back to that same thing, you know? Everything seems bigger when you're a kid. And I would imagine it'd be the same thing if I went in person back to my old house. That road that seemed to take forever for us to get home, it probably wasn't long at all.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Well, the final one says, my parents moved into my childhood home when I was 6 months old. I'm 38 now, and I live in my childhood home with my husband and our cats. We've made a whole lot of changes in and around the house, but all my best childhood memories are still all around. I love that. I think that's so sweet.
It is. And how cool to walk around your house as an adult with your spouse and your kids, and in this case, your cats, and just remember all those places right there, that stuff that you did as a kid there.
I wonder if they have the, you know, when you were little and your parents marked your height on the wall.
Oh, yeah. We did that.
I wonder if they have that. That would be so cute.
And they could have their own kids now. And
or their own cats. Measure their cats.
That's true. Okay. I know some cat owners are pretty serious about that, but we've talked about dogs and cats before, right?
Your listeners are pretty serious? Is that what you said?
Oh, some of them, sure. They're, I mean, I know a lot of them are dog people because that's what I am, but I know a lot of them really love their cats too.
Mm-hmm.
We do that in the Facebook group. We'll say, every once in a while, say, hey, post a picture of your pets. And people don't need any encouragement to, myself included, to send us, to, it's like showing, here's, hey, look at my grandchildren.
And oh my gosh, you know what I should do? I should post a picture of me feeding a lizard, one of my lizards.
Yes, we talked about that previously.
And I have a really good video of it.
There's going to be a video someday of me feeding the squirrel that's in the tree right in front of my house. I'm working on that.
Okay. Oh, you haven't acquired this video yet.
He has not yet allowed me that close to him.
Okay. But, have you tried peanut butter?
Oh, yeah. If you look, there's a post in the Facebook group because I made a contraption. I shouldn't say I made it. My stepdad and I made it when I was up in Indiana, and it's mounted to the tree, and it has the peanut butter lid on the underside with a hole in the top. And every time I finish a peanut butter jar, it gets screwed onto the bottom of that. So the squirrel sits there on the little ledge and he munches on peanut butter. And now when that's empty, I bring walnuts. So I put a few walnuts out every once in a while. But sometimes he's sitting there and he's eating and I see him and I start to walk and it's kind of gradually getting closer and closer, but still he runs up the tree before I can get close enough.
Okay. Well, to be continued. Long-term project. As long-term as the squirrel is alive, at least.
Right. What's their lifespan? Do you know?
That's a great question. I don't know. I know a possum is only 3 years, but yeah, I wonder, you know, how many generations of squirrel will you be training here? It's like the mascots at the universities.
Yeah. I need to somehow identify them, but you know, to me, every single squirrel looks exactly the same. All right. Good question.
All right. See you next week.
I'll be there. If you want to check out the current Tuesday question that everyone's discussing, head over to whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook and join in the conversation. Big thanks, as always, to my co-host and producer, Meredith, for putting this episode together. You know she has her own podcast, right? It's called Meredith for Real, The Curious Introvert. And I can tell you she's definitely curious because a lot of times she and her guests have conversations about things you don't normally hear talked about. Her website is MeredithForReal.com. And if you like hearing firsthand stories of people who've gone through something really unusual, that's exactly what we do right here on What Was That Like every other Friday. Just hit the subscribe or follow button right there on your podcast app and you'll never miss an episode. I'm Scott Johnson. Stay safe. And we'll see you next time. Hey, this is Scott. Did you know we offer a premium feed of this show that is completely ad-free and there are bonus episodes? Go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus or just click the link in the show notes of any episode to learn more and to sign up. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can sign up right there in the app by clicking Try Free at the top of the episode list. And I hope to see you in the premium feed soon.